experience with this. We just come as people that are ordinary. And if you're anything like me, it takes a while for my brain to get past all the stuff of the week, you know. And someone asked me one time, why do you sing two or three songs and in a row there? It's because we need to get past just singing words and listening to music. To get past so we can enter that deep place and let God begin to minister to us and speak to us in those deep places in our heart. And I know it took me a lot of years to become a worshiper. It took a lot of years. Because it's not just about singing a song, and it's certainly not about looking good in front of other people. I gave up on that a long time ago. But it's about truly trying to connect with God. And this is one of those places that we want to do that. And so we hope that you will sense God's presence in a very real way, and that you will be encouraged as we take time to fellowship with God our Father through the Spirit of Christ. So God bless you all. God bless you all. We're going to remain standing, and we're going to read Scripture together. Right before we do that, though, we're going to dismiss our children to head out to Children's Church. So let's bless those children as they go on out there. Amen. Amen. And amen. We appreciate our teachers that are willing to give of their time and minister to the children. It's a beautiful thing. Amen. We're going to be reading from Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. We're reading together verses 1 through 11. And we are continuing on in the series that we began a few weeks ago in the Gospel of Luke. Let us read in unison together with respect and reverence out of God's Word. Let us begin. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the Word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let the nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came, and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees, and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And so they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything, and they followed him. And the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his words. You may be seated, and I'll ask Mike Windsor, our elder, to pray over the word this morning.
Heavenly Father, what an incredible passage. We see and understand just what we don't understand, the depth of your abilities, Lord. Father, as we come before you, we ask that through pastor's studies this week that you would bless him, and that we as a congregation would have a different perspective this morning, that we would see you as the audience, and that we're all participants in worshiping you, and that we will sit and listen to Pastor Tom give his offering of worship, and as congregants, Lord, we ask that you would clear our minds, clear our hearts, remove the scales from our ears so that we could hear your word and that we would worship you in that way, Lord. We would hear what it is that you have to say, and that we would not only be doers of the word, as James says, but we would be, you know what I mean, Lord. We would be doers of the word. We wouldn't just hear it. Father, I ask that you would go before us now And we ask that, this act of worship would be a sweet smell unto you, Lord. And just ask this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4 if you have not already. And also there is in the bulletin an outline that goes along with the message and the PowerPoint. If you find that helpful, please turn to that and use it. And I'll check out your doodling this week. Wanted to just mention as we get into right before we get into the message that we have finally made a decision on the flooring and carpeting, and we were hoping that they would actually begin on the replacement of the carpet in the lobby and down the halls, and then they're going to be replacing the double classroom and also the prayer room carpet. The materials are getting ordered, and we're not sure if they came in or not. They were thinking of being able to start tomorrow. And so we're very excited about that after years of deliberation and years of preparation and of studying it. So now we're finally moving forward with it. And special thanks to David and Charlene Flara, who took a great deal of their time to research it and pick out some materials and consult with a flooring man. And we're very thankful the Lord has sent Jeff Nisley to help us in this project, and we look forward to having that replaced very shortly. So we appreciate that very much. So if you haven't turned already, look at Luke chapter 5 with me, and we are continuing in our series in Luke, and we come to this passage in chapter 5, and I tell you, this is a great story, isn't it? This is one of those great, first of all, it's a waterman story. And I told you last week that, you see, Jesus is a waterman. Jesus understands fishing. Y'all think you know how to fish. Jesus knows all about fishing. And he proves it to them, doesn't he? And so today I want to talk to you about the call to catch people. You see, we pick up in the story that Jesus is teaching, as he's been doing. He's down by the Sea of Galilee, and Luke is the only one that calls it by its proper name, the Lake Gennesaret. The other two gospel writers don't call it that. They call it Lake Tiberias. You know, it has its various titles depending on who's ruling, you know, who's in the government, and so on and so forth. But it's best known as the Sea of Galilee. And as we know, he had come down to Capernaum, and he was teaching there. This is sort of his base of operations. And so he's down there by the water's edge. The people have gathered. And as you know, in that day, water was not easy to access, and you know, to dig wells was a very difficult thing. And so people are using the water, and they're probably already down there at daybreak, you know, taking care of perhaps laundry or washing or that kind of thing. And Jesus begins to teach at an early hour, and the people begin to gather. The people begin to gather around him, so much so that they're pressing in on him. Now, I've done a little bit of fishing, not a whole lot, but I remember my dad, when I was young, he used to take us out on a headboat, and man, you know, out of Point Pleasant, New Jersey, they would just pack people in on the headboat, you know, because as many head as you can get in there, as many, you know, the fee that you'd have to pay. And I remember, you know, being like shoulder to shoulder with guys fishing, and it wasn't fun. You know, you're trying to cast, and you're trying to bait. We fished for a lot of flounder up in New Jersey. It's kind of famous for that. You wouldn't want to eat them though, up in New Jersey. Yeah, I think they're kind of nuclear or something. Anyway, Jesus is getting pressed. The people are pressing around him. You know, a large crowd has gathered, and Jesus looks around, and he sees the boat of Simon Peter. He sees one of his partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And interesting that Jesus gets into Simon Peter's boat. And it's purposeful that he does this. And he puts out from the water a little bit, and so he has a little room to breathe, and the people aren't pressing in on him. So he begins to teach the people from the boat. It reminds me of a pastor up in New England, and he ministered mainly to fishermen. And so he asked the board of the church, he said he'd like to make some renovations in the sanctuary of the church. And so what he did is he got rid of the traditional pulpit, and he set up a captain's station. And he put a winding stairway, and every Sunday morning he would wind up and have a ship's wheel in front of him. He would stand in front of that, and they preached to the fishermen that were coming. And he'd say, "Lads, we've come to hear the Word of God. Stand to attention, and let's hear the Word." And so, it depends on the setting. And Jesus, here, the masterful teacher, teaches the people from the boat, but he's also got a lesson in store for Peter, Simon Peter, and also for James and John. When he's done, he looks at Peter. And Peter and the other fishermen, James and John, they've been washing their nets. Why? Because they've been out all night fishing. That's the time to fish on the Sea of Galilee. You don't going to go out fishing during the hot sun beating down on the waters, and it causes the fish to go deep, and it's hard to catch them. But rather, at night, they come and they feed. And probably Jim Vilwalk knows probably more about that than I do. But you use a rod and a reel. You don't use a net, do you, Jim? Okay, see, he's familiar with it. So they use these big nets. And when they come out of the salt water, they have to be washed. Otherwise, the salt water will destroy the nets. So they're on the shore. They're washing their nets. They're done. You understand? They're done. They've been out all night fishing. And they're done. They're cleaning up, man. They're wanting to go home and get some shut-eye. You know, get some biscuits and gravy, and then shut-eye. They're done. And Jesus looks over at Peter, and he says, "Simon Peter, put out to the water. Put out to the water and cast down your net so that we will have a catch." Can you hear Peter? Ah. And he says, "Master, we've been out all night, and we haven't caught anything." He's a good Jewish boy, right? You can just hear him. You can see the hands. "Master, we've been out all night. We haven't caught anything." And he's just looking at Jesus, and Jesus isn't flinching. Jesus is not giving in. And he says, "But because you say so, we'll go out." Now, he uses a word here that in just a moment I want to pick up on, but I want you to remember. He says, "Master." Master. And so, as we see what happens here, Jesus tells Peter, "Go out." And they go out. And he throws down the net, and he begins to pull in the largest haul of fish ever. So much so that he has to call his partners, James and John, "Hey, bring the boat! We got so much fish here, can't handle it with one boat." And right after this happens, and the boats begin to sink, and Peter, Simon Peter, looks at Jesus. He looks at him and he realizes, this is no mere man. This is not even just a rabbi. This is not even a prophet. And he says, "Go away from me, Lord. Go away from me because I am a sinful man." Can you see the scene? And what we learn from this passage is this, that, you see, when Jesus, the Messiah, reveals to us who he is, and we see our sinfulness, then he can change us. He can in turn change us so that we then catch people for him. You see, Jesus showed them that he can catch fish. Jesus knows how to catch fish, but he's not there for fish. He's there for people. He's there for you and for me. And so now he's going to show Peter and James and John. He says, "I'm going to show you how to catch fish." Excuse me, how to catch people. And then he's going to show them how you're going to catch people. He reveals himself to them. They recognize who they are in light of God's glory, His holiness. They see their own sinfulness. And then because they see who He is, He's able to change them. He's able to transform them so that they catch people. I want to connect back with the last couple of weeks. You see, we see here King Jesus. We see here Jesus, the Messiah, the one sent by God for this purpose, for this mission. He's bringing the kingdom of God. He's bringing the rule and the reign of God. You see, when you believe in King Jesus, when you put your faith in Him, when you receive Him into your life, then the kingdom of God is with you, and the kingdom of God is within you. And the interesting thing is, when King Jesus shows up, some interesting things happen, don't they? Some strange things sometimes. Let's break it down in just a few minutes we have. So, number one, Jesus reveals to Peter and the other fishermen, He reveals to him that He is the Messiah. And not only is He just the Messiah, but He is the Lord of the waters. He's Lord of the waters. See, when King Jesus, the Holy One of God, comes around, things begin to happen. We saw 3 weeks ago that when He went to Nazareth and He declares from Isaiah 61 that He is the Messiah, He is the one that the Scripture spoke of, that God would anoint Him and called Him to be the Holy One, the servant of the Lord. He is the Messiah. What happened in Nazareth when Jesus showed up and declared it? The people there wanted to kill Him. They drive Him to the edge of a precipice. And Jesus stops them. He walks right on through. But they were trying to kill Him. And then He goes down to Capernaum and He's teaching in the synagogue. And what happens then? Right in the middle of the church service, a man with an unclean spirit, a demon, shouts out at Him, "Ha, Jesus, Son of God, I know who You are. What do You have to do with us? Are You here to torment us?" And Jesus has to silence him, has to muzzle this man who has an unclean spirit. Then last week, we saw that Jesus goes to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house. Yes, Simon Peter was married. He had a mother-in-law. He goes to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house, and Simon Peter's mother-in-law has a fever. She's sick. She's in bed. And he goes over. Jesus heals her. So much so, she's so well that she gets up and serves them. And then crowds of people show up. They're bringing the afflicted. Those afflicted with illness, those afflicted with unclean spirits, demonic oppression, and Jesus heals them all. Jesus casts out those unclean spirits. He restores these people. King Jesus has showed up, and the kingdom of God has come near in Him. And now, these fishermen, these experts who've been out fishing all night long and have caught what? Zero. Zip. Now, if you've been out on a day like that or a night like that, it's frustrating, isn't it? I don't think there's been too many times I've gone out and caught nothing. I think one of the boats that was in the tournament, the fishing tournament last year, I think there was one boat that came and didn't catch anything. Whose boat was that? Who was it that didn't catch any? Anybody remember who that was? Nobody wants to admit. Yeah, it's humiliating. I mean, you try everything. You know, you change the bait. Try a spinner, try trawling. You know, and then if all else fails, you can try to do some bottom fishing and, you know, catch some of them nasty fish. So, you know, but nothing. They're out all night long. Do you not think that they tried all those things? They probably tried every book, trick in the book. And guess what? They didn't have one of them fish finders. They didn't have one of those fish finders. They just went to their favorite spots. They had their spots. And they come back with nothing. All night long. And now, Jesus gives them this huge catch of fish, doesn't He? I mean, this huge one. They're going to have a fish fry. I mean, they're going to have their own shrimp and oyster roast there, aren't they? They're going to have a great time with all this fish. And right in the middle of this, Jesus has this huge lesson for them. See, they'd already heard His message, right? Peter and James and John, they'd already heard His message. They already knew His message that we Because the King has come near in the presence of God, the kingdom of God has come near, we therefore are to repent and believe in the kingdom, receive the kingdom in the person of the Messiah. You see, Peter and James and John had already met Jesus. Let me show you. John chapter 1, there's verses 35 through 42. We're reading 35 through 42 on this. And Joanna Kofeld Johnson is going to read that for us. If she's here. There she is. Thank you, Joanna.
The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter.
So they've already met Jesus. They've been hearing his teaching. They saw how he was speaking to the crowds of people. And now, they see it demonstrated right before their eyes. You see, it's one thing to hear a teaching. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Not only did Jesus declare who he was through his words, but he also demonstrated who he was through his works. And that's why we follow the same pattern. That's why we pray for people. We don't have a message that has no power. We have a message that transforms people. We have a message, the Word of God, the message of Christ, the good news, that not only speaks, but it also demonstrates the kingdom of God in our lives. And so now, right before their eyes, Jesus, the Messiah, demonstrates the kingdom of God has indeed come near in him. And he demonstrates that he is the Messiah, the Holy One of God. And he is Lord even of the waters. He is Lord even of the fish. I know sometimes we kind of relegate God to certain things in life, don't we? "Well, God, you're pretty good at hearing my prayers for grandma. And God, you're pretty good at hearing my prayers when, I ask for help and for strength." But, sometimes we kind of relegate him. "Well, God, I have this job situation over here, and you really can't do anything about that." Or, "God, my car is broken down, and, God, I know what I need to do. I need to go out and just buy a new car. I need to go take on this big, huge car payment. Because, God, you can't do anything about cars." You fill in the blank. We relegate God sometimes too. It's only certain spiritual things that God's Lord of. He's not Lord in these other areas. He can't take care of these other areas. I had a friend of mine that he was telling me, he said, I need a vehicle. I said, "Oh, really? Okay, well, that's great." I said, "Well, what are you going to go out and buy?" He says, "Oh, I'm not going out and buying anything." He said, "I've prayed and I've asked God to bring me a vehicle." He said, I don't have any money to buy a vehicle. And so the Lord knows that, and he knows I need a vehicle. The one he had died. And he said, I prayed, and I'm just waiting to see what God's going to do. And I kind of scratched my head, and I was like, that's weird. Really? I thought if you needed a car, you had to have a little bit of money, and you had to go out and buy a car, right? And I just kind of, I kept my own counsel, and I just kept my mouth shut. Daggone it, a week later, somebody gave him a vehicle. I mean, gave it to him. It was a family in the church that heard that he was in need of a vehicle. They had an older family van, and they were debating about whether they should, you know, buy another van themselves. They did, and they gave their used vehicle to him. And I was like, man, he's got some faith. He's Lord of cars. He's Lord of jobs. He's Lord of fish. He's Lord of the waters. And you see, what happened is that Peter had such a limited understanding of who Jesus was. And now he begins to understand who Jesus, the Messiah, truly is. So number two, Jesus understands who he is, and as he does that, he understands his sinfulness in light of Jesus, Messiah, the Holy One of God. Look with me at verse 8. Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this huge catch of fish, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. They're astonished at this. There's two reasons. It would be one thing if, you know, they'd just gone out and Jesus had done this huge catch of fish. But remember, where were they all night long? They were fishing. They'd been out there all night long. They tried every trick in the book and didn't catch anything. And then not only do they get this, you know, little catch. Oh, no. Jesus gives this overwhelming catch. So huge, they have to call the second boat, and it almost sinks the boats. I think they probably had to throw a few back. They couldn't fill it anymore because it was about to sink. You see, when Jesus first asked Peter to put out in the water, you remember how he responded? He said, "Master, we fished all night and caught nothing." You see, this word master, when Peter responds and he uses this word master has a very interesting meaning. This word master means that it's the appointed leader, the appointed rabbi, the appointed teacher. In other words, what Peter is saying is that, you know, Jesus, I know that, you know, God has sent you. And, you know, the word master can mean overseer or superintendent. Peter says, you know, I know God sent you to be the teacher. I know he sent you to be the rabbi. You know, maybe he sent you even to be a prophet. But Jesus, you don't really know anything about fish. You know, preacher, can you stick to preaching? You see what Peter's saying? Jesus, you know, I'm this expert fisherman. And me and my guys here, we've been out, man. He said, you really ought to stick to preaching. You ought to stick to teaching. Even, you know, the healing, that's great. You ought to stick to that. Jesus, we know about fish. You see that? How many times do we think we know better than God? We know better than God. God, you know, you don't understand, God, what's going down here. You don't get it. God, you don't see my situation. You don't really know what's going on down here. How many times have we said that? As if he is not Lord over that thing as well. And so he calls him master. And what does that mean? It means, you know, his understanding of who Jesus is was lacking. It was deficient. And now after this happens, look at what he calls him. He says, "Jesus, go away from me, Lord. Go away from me, Lord, because I'm a sinful man. Go away from me." Why does he respond like this? Because, you see, he has understood who Jesus is. The word Lord, Kyrios, means Master, Holy One, not Master in the sense of a limited sense, but the Holy One of God. It's, in some context, is actually equivalent to Yahweh, or Jehovah, sometimes called. Lord means the One who's over all, who has all authority. He has all power. He has all control. His understanding of Jesus has changed, isn't it? And in light of this, because he sees Jesus for who Jesus truly is, he understands his sinfulness. He has that Isaiah chapter 6 experience. You remember that? You remember Isaiah has that vision of the temple? and of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings on the throne. And he cries, the angels cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory. And Isaiah cringes before God and he says, I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the Lord Almighty. And one of the angels goes to the altar and takes a coal and touches his lips with this red hot coal. It's a vision. And it represents the healing and the cleansing and the transforming that God does to us when we see Him for who He truly is. You notice what Peter says. He says, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. He doesn't say, go away from us, Lord, because, you know, hey, my crew, my boys, they're really sinful. You know, I'm with some rough characters here. He doesn't say that, does he? He says, Lord, go away from me because I am a sinful man. You see, by the revelation of Christ, he has come to understand who he is in light of God's holiness. And by that same revelation, listen to me. You still with me? Say amen. I know I'm going a little bit long here. By the revelation that God gives to us, each one of us, we must come to that place that we see ourselves in light of who God is. In light of His holiness. In the light of being the Messiah. The Holy One of God. The one sent by the Father. You and I have to come to that place of seeing ourselves. And watch this. Not only do we have to see ourselves that we are sinful. You know, if you ask most people, they will admit that, you know, oh sure, I sin, you know. But if you ask them, why do you think that you should go to heaven? Why do you think God should let you into heaven? What do most people answer? Well, I'm a pretty good person. I got some news for you. I got some news for you and for me. We are not pretty good people. In light of God's holiness, in light of who Christ is, we are sinful. And then knowing that, understanding that, and listen, I can't, you know, I could be up here all day and I could lay out, you know, all God's laws and I could use the way of the Master with you and I could show you from the Scripture how the Scripture says that you and I are sinful. And by the way, I always include myself in that because I am just a man of flesh. It doesn't matter whether I'm the preacher or not. I am just as sinful as anyone else, you see. But you see, I could do all those things, and until you have a revelation from God, you will not agree that you are sinful. Not only do you and I need to understand that in light of who God is, that we are sinful. See, not only do we commit sin, but we are sinful because we are sinners. We have within us a bent, a tendency towards sin. And you see, I can't convince you of this, but you and I, we must come to this understanding of ourselves. And secondly, watch this. You and I must understand, we must understand that we are in need of forgiveness. We must have forgiveness. You see, there's a lot of people that will agree with you. Oh yes, I'm a sinner. Especially if you've, you know, had a rough past. And this is one of the reasons that Jesus talked about this when he said, blessed are the poor and blessed are the poor in spirit. There's a lot of people that they have a right understanding of themselves. They know that they're sinners, right? But then there are others of us that will say, well, you know, I'm not such a bad person. I'm certainly not as bad as that guy. I've not done this, you know. But you and I have to understand in light of who God is, we're sinners, but not only are we sinners, we must have God's forgiveness, or we are lost. We are separated from Him. And this is why Simon Peter responds the way he does. This is why he responds this way. He says, you are the Holy One of God. Away, stay away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful man. You and I must come to that place of understanding. And then we must absolutely be convinced that except for the forgiveness, in the mercy of God, we are lost. Have you come to that place where God has revealed to you and you have truly accepted and believed that you are a sinful man, a sinful woman, and you need God's forgiveness. You need and must have His forgiveness, and you have received it by reaching out in faith to His Son, Jesus Christ. Can you see that picture of Simon with me? Oh, it's so powerful. Just a few minutes ago, he's there, you know, exasperated with Jesus. Jesus, we've been out all night, man. He's exasperated with Him. And now, he's on his knees. Can you see the picture? He's on his knees before Jesus. He's saying, Lord, Lord, stay away from me. I'm a sinful man. Can you see that picture? He's broken. He's contrite. He's come to that place of at the end of himself. He knows that without Jesus, he's lost. And then these beautiful words from Jesus. There's beautiful words here. Verse 10b. And then Jesus says to Simon, do not be afraid. Isn't that beautiful? Simon, don't be afraid. Why does he say that? Think with me for a minute. Why does he say that? For the Son of Man has not come into the world to condemn the world, but to what? To save it. Isn't that beautiful? The Son of Man has not come in to condemn the world. He's not here to condemn you and me. No, He's here. He's here to save you and me. Not only does He forgive us, not only does He give us hope, He gives us forgiveness. And then He gives us ongoing forgiveness. Ongoing forgiveness. In 1 John 1:8-10, we read a scripture here about the provision of forgiveness for Jesus. We read of that wonderful forgiveness. But not only is it for right now, but it's for every day. 1 John 1:8-10.
Christoph just left.
I'm sorry, I can't read this. Someone's going to...
Christoph Koenig, but he just left.
Could you go ahead and read that for us, Marshall?
Okay. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purity and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word has no place in our lives.
Can you go back to verse 9, Les? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You see, it's forgiveness now. It's forgiveness when I come to Christ. And it's forgiveness every day. I live in the eternal now of God. I live in that forgiveness every day. And I don't know about you, but I need that forgiveness every day. I can honestly say in those words that Paul says that Jesus Christ has come to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Paul says that, but I feel like I can say that. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. I am the chief of sinners. My brother, my sister, the Holy One, Jesus the Messiah, has come to save you and me. He's come to forgive us and not just put us on a track and say, okay, you know, do the best you can now. You know, you're forgiven. Well, go ahead and do the best you can. And if you screw up, I'm right there to stomp on you. No. You see, Jesus is not like a drill sergeant. Jesus is not like an unfair employer. No, Jesus is there with mercy and grace, day in, day out. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Day in, day out. Today, tomorrow, the next day, until He comes again, we have forgiveness. Beautiful words. Don't be afraid. And so if you're like Simon Peter, perhaps you're here today and you are seeing Jesus for who He is, And then you're seeing yourself for who you are. Then cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Him and Lord say, I know, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I'm sinful. But Lord, unlike Peter, I don't want you to go away from me. Lord, please come near and forgive me. See, that's the lesson that Peter hasn't yet learned. Can you imagine if Jesus went away from us? Where would we be if Jesus were to listen to Peter and go away from him? So don't be afraid, because Jesus won't leave you. Jesus will not leave you, and He will not leave me. No. Because guess what? When Peter says to Him, Lord, go away from me, for I am sinful, does Jesus listen to Peter? He doesn't listen to Peter, does He? He doesn't go away from him. He says, no, Peter, settle down, Peter. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because I'm here for you. And then He ends. Then He calls them to catch other people. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch other people. When they know who Jesus is and what He can do in their lives, when they understand themselves and they have a revelation of Christ and they begin to experience who Jesus really is, wow. This is great, isn't it? Hey, guys, this is wonderful. But Peter, this is not just for you. Do you remember what he said last week? He said, I can't stay here. I've come to preach to others. There's others that need to hear the good news. And how do they respond? How do Peter, James, and John respond? They leave their nets and they follow him immediately. Immediately. Remember the parable of the banquet when Jesus said, guys, don't make excuses. I've invited you to my wedding banquet. And all of those invited started making excuses. Well, you know, we can't come, Master. We can't come to the wedding banquet because I just bought a cow. That's a pretty lame excuse, isn't it? Just bought a cow. Okay? And the next guy says, excuse me, please. I can't come to the wedding banquet. I can't come to this place where you invite me to be with you, Jesus. I can't come to that because I've bought a piece of land. I got to go check it out. I got to go see if there's some turkeys on there to hunt. I got to go see if there's some good deer. I can rent this piece of land out. Sorry, Jesus, can't come. And then I think the lamest of them is the last one. He says, I just got me a wife. You know I can't come. Who's the one that gave him the wife? Who gave him the... It says in the Proverbs that a man who finds a good wife finds what? A good thing. He finds a blessing from the Lord. So you're telling the Lord that the wife He just gave you, the partner He just gave you, because it could be, you know, you're a wife here and He's giving you a husband. By the way, that's why you ought to treat your husband good and well. You ought to treat your wife well. You ought to love her like Christ loved the church. I know this is a different sermon. Could I take 2 minutes and just talk about that for a minute? I'm telling you, I see some young people, they want to get married. They want a husband. They want a wife. And they get married and they don't know how to treat their husband. They don't know how to treat their wife. Fussing, feuding, fighting. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. God says to husbands, love your wife as God loves the church. Christ loved the church. Love them. Give yourself to them. Sacrifice yourself to them. And then you see, when you do that, husbands, when it says to the wife, submit to your husband, they won't have too much of a problem with that. Because you see, it's not so hard to submit to someone who loves you and has the best interest for you, wants the best for you. But they are accountable. God's going to ask them about the marriage. Back to this sermon. Jesus tells them, you're going to go catch other people. You're going to catch other people. Just like I'm doing. Just like I'm here to go and reach other people. Peter, you are going to catch people. Isn't that neat? Can you think about that for just a second? We're going to close. Catch people. You're going to go out. How do you catch a fish? How do you catch a fish? You bait and you reel them in. Well, Jesus is going to show them how to do this in a right way, not an inappropriate way, but how to reach out and draw people in through the love, the mercy, and the grace of God, not through law, not through legalism, not through condemnation, not through judgment, but how? Through the love and the forgiveness and the mercy and the grace of God. That's how they're going to catch people. They leave everything. They respond immediately. Let me ask you a question as I close. As Jesus has that call in your life and my life, how have you responded? Jesus wants every one of us to catch people. How have we responded following Him in this? Oh, we have 1,000 excuses, don't we? I have several of them myself. But Jesus will not allow us to go off track. He wants us to catch people and catch them in love. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask that we would commit ourselves afresh and new to letting Jesus help us see who we are and then receiving His mercy and grace to draw others, catch others with that same love and mercy and grace. Let's pray. We thank You, Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Holy One of God. You are the Holy One of God. You are the One that has come, the Holy One who has come to us. And we have seen, Lord, Your holiness. We have seen who You are in each of our lives. And Lord, if there's anyone here today and they have not yet seen You for who You are, the Messiah, the Holy One of God, Lord, would You reveal Yourself to them? Lord, would You do what I cannot do, that even we ourselves cannot do? Reveal Yourself in a way that is unmistakable. So, Lord, we ask that You would work. You would draw. And that we would each see ourselves in light of who You are. And then, Lord, we renew our commitment to catch people. Not through gimmicks, not through bait and switch, but, Lord, through genuineness, authenticity. Lord, that we would live such a life of love and grace and forgiveness and mercy that people would say, I want to live in that same kind of love and mercy and grace. Oh, Father, make us like that through the transforming power of Christ. We give ourselves to You. We commit ourselves to You, Lord, afresh and new. Have Your way, we pray. And then, Father, we take this moment and we lift up Taylor Tankersley, who was riding a horse at Tuckahoe Park and has fallen off, has hit her head. She's on the way to the hospital now. Lord, we lift up Taylor and we ask that You would touch her and, Lord, bring healing to her. Lord, raise her up. We pray for Joetta Denny, who's with her, and that You will use her, Lord, to bring encouragement and comfort. And we pray and raise her up to You, Father, that You would superintend in this situation, Lord. Father, as we close, if there are any here that need to open their heart to You, that today would be the day of salvation. And as we close, Lord, if any here that need prayer for any reason, that they would come and receive from the ministry of Jesus the love and the mercy and the grace of God. So we give You praise, Lord. We bless You. I bless these people for their attention to the Word, Lord, for their patience and graciousness in understanding Your Word. We give You all glory and honor. We thank You that You've been with us, Lord. We have sensed Your presence. All glory and honor be to You. We pray it in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And all the people of God said, Amen. Amen. If you need prayer for any reason, come on.